listening to Musings of a Shy podcast, a Dogecoin show. I'm your host, Hero Job Shy.
Episode 58. Of course I won the fucking sword fight, Hero says. I'm the greatest sword fighter in the world. And he wrote the software. Yeah, that too, Hero says. On this episode, we're going to talk about the term PGP, which stands for Pretty Good Privacy. It's a cryptography program that was created over almost 30 years ago, which is utilized by all sorts of people for private communications. You may have heard of this particular program because it's the program that Edward Snowden used to communicate with the various reporters and individuals that he was submitting the information that he was whistleblowing on. It's one of the primary reasons the NSA was never ever successfully able to intercept his messaging, but most importantly, able to fully understand who his contacts were because of this particular cryptography. It's a cryptography that currently right now, as we stand, has not been broken. And it's a cryptography program that you're going to be asked to use when you interact on the dark web, or even in some cases, the clear web. A lot of people use it within an email programming service. But before we get into all of that, the term and how it's being used, the news. The news. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more about this subject matter that's part of this news story within a couple of weeks. But this comes from Zero Hedge, and it is by Tyler Durden, the story. And it's the war on cash is escalating. Largest banks in America joins war on cash. So basically what it is and what is happening is that Chase Bank has put a restriction on the use of cash in selected markets, including Greater Cleveland. The new policy restricts borrowers from using cash to make payments on credit cards, mortgages, equity lines, and auto loans. Chase even goes as far as to prohibit the storage of cash in a safe deposit box. In a letter to his customers dated April 1st, 2015, pertaining to his updated safe deposit box lease agreement, one of the highlighted items reads, "You agree not to store any cash or coins other than those found to have collectible value." Whether or not this pertains to gold and silver coins with no numismatic value is not explained. As one observer commented, the policy is unusual, but since Chase is the nation's largest bank, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing more of this in the era of sensitivity about funding terrorism and other legal causes. So basically what it's come down to, and this article talks about it right here towards the end, is we keep being bombarded by the moves to restrict the use of cash and demands to ban it altogether. These demands seem to mainly revolve around two arguments. One is that only criminals need cash, which is on par with the absurd assertion that we should all be fine with a Stasi-like ubiquitous government surveillance if we have nothing to hide. The other one is that cash ban would make it life easier for the central planners who are actively undermining the economy with their policy of displacement. We would argue that central banking and the fiat money have done more than enough harm already, and that the eradication of financial privacy has gone way too far. Money and banking should be freed from the clutches of government-directed monopolization and cartelization, and it should be returned to the free market. So basically, this is what's been going on. JP Morgan, Greece is experiencing this. There's other nations, including Sweden, are putting these restrictions on cash. And this goes on the whole concept of whether or not we should be in a cashless society where cash doesn't exist and everything should be digital, and then whether or not this is something that, you know, nation states or even the central banking system should be forcing upon people, or is this something of a choice that people should choose whether or not they wish to live a cashless life? But like I said, I will go more in depth about this because this pertains to the pretty much why Satoshi Nakamoto created Bitcoin in the essence, because of the restrictions and the cronyism and the corruption and just the very nature of our financial infrastructure and institutions and just the monetary policies of nation states have been going on for so many decades is why Bitcoin was created. But it's also, you know, the essence of, because Bitcoin is digital and not physical, there's, you know, that kind of drawback in the sense of whether or not Bitcoin could be used as a weapon by a lot of these financial institutions to enforce this cashless state, which is not what the design that Satoshi Nakamoto wanted. And we'll talk about that when I go in depth about a cashless society. In other news, Turning Robotics Industry unveils first phone built for the blockchain era. This article comes from Upstart Business Journal. It was written by Michael DiCastio. I hope I said that right. The article is Turning Robotics Industry unveils first phone built for the blockchain era. Turning Robotics Industry Today unveiled a new kind of phone designed to let users safely communicate behind an encryption wall protection without any central authority overseeing the encryption. If the promise of a decentralized trusted network sounds familiar because it's simply similar to Bitcoin, that's no coincidence. The Turning Phone, built from an alloy that its makers call Liquid Metal, will soon embody technology very similar to Bitcoin Ledger system, the blockchain. In the near future, all data transactions that you perform on your Turning Phone will be recorded in the blockchain manner, which we call winding computing, says Turning CEO SWL Chow during a phone conversation yesterday. All Turning Phone users will be able to record each other's transactions in the WIND or in a WIND blockchain. Chow says he and his team have been studying this for a very, very long time and developed WIND Computer, a white paper about, which will be published later this year, as a way to safely decentralize storage in the computer in the cloud. The Turning Phone is designed to directly verify the identity of other Turning devices. This end-to-end authentication creates a protected communication network by anonymously pre-bundling the master public key and the unique private key directly into the phone. He says the concept is similar to the Black Phone 2 and the Tablet Plus, which was unveiled by Silent Circle earlier this year. So this is another step in the direction of protecting people's privacy and also merging the existing blockchain technology into these type of concepts. And this is, you know, I would expect to see this more of these type of devices coming out soon. I wouldn't be surprised that by the end of the year, there will be some kind of phone that already has a Bitcoin wallet already embedded in the system. Much like if you were to purchase a phone now, you'll find like Twitter or if you have an iPhone, a lot of the iPhone apps are already on the phone in itself. So this is the direction that the blockchain technology is going to, and in essence, what the privacy communication that people are seeking is going into. And in our last news story, I have this article from Bitcoin News Magazine. It's called The Top 5 Cryptocurrency Scams of 2014, written by Allegro 101. The bankruptcy of Mt. Gox, one of the world's largest Bitcoin exchanges, began in February 2014 with a loss of an estimated 750,000 Bitcoin, worth $35 million at the time. While Mt. Gox remains the largest Bitcoin scam to date, there have been others, some not as well known, causing investors to lose millions of dollars. Here's our list of the other top five cryptocurrency scams of 2015. Fifth place is BTC Airbees. Only lasted a few months in the quarter of 2014. The company was a typical hype, high-yield investment program promising returns of over 1% per day on a minimum deposit of $50 in Bitcoin. When the site went dark, there was an effort by customers to obtain refunds, which were only slightly successful. Of those who joined in the effort, there's a spreadsheet indicating over 573 Bitcoins were lost with refunds of only 14 Bitcoin. So that's quite a return on investment on the creators of this particular scam. Fourth place. Bitcoin Trader was another hip Ponzi scheme that lasted much longer than BTC Arabs. From late 2013 until October 2014, Bitcoin Trader promoted itself with a much more polished website than BTC Arabs and tried to hide the fact that it was a Ponzi scheme and claim it earned profit from both Bitcoin mining and arbitrage. The owner, John Carley, also did his best to keep Bitcoin Trader off of review sites that rated hip programs like Money News Online, lending credibility to the site. Customers of the service lost from $250,000 to $500,000, according to estimates by CoinDesk. So, you have to worry about these sites that claim that, you know, significant return on investment. These are typically always scams. You know, they speak to people's, you know, avarice, their, you know, greed. And that's why they're very successful. Third place is Fibonacci, was a company started by Jason H. Huggins of Florida, USA, to produce a script ASIC miners. Mr. Huggins was a respected member of the Litecoin Association and poster at the Litecoin Forum, which he used to promote his scam. Fibonacci began accepting payments for pre-orders of script ASIC miners in March 2014, encouraging customers to pay not only with Bitcoin and Litecoin, but a new altcoin called Catchcoin he had developed. The company claimed that they would beat KCC Miner to market and would deliver the Litecoin miners in late summer 2014. Of course, the company never produced any miners at all. And Fibonacci, Mr. Huggins is now being sued in Lee County, Florida. It's estimated the investors were defrauded of more than $1 million, and the criminal complaint can be read here. So this guy is probably going to, pretty soon there'll be news about him going to jail. Second place, Fibonacci was not the most successful Litecoin scam in 2014. The dubious honor goes to Lite-